Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we thank you today for the power and the authority of your word. I pray that you will speak through us and to us. In the name of Jesus, Father, we just love you. We glorify you. We magnify you, Lord. And I want to thank you for the opportunity you have given us to minister to the whole world. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen and amen.
The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all of the earth keep silent before him.
Tonight, I'm going to ask to come, and I hate he wasn't here last week. We ministered at a home study last night, and one lady got saved. Praise God for that. Tonight, Brother Stanley, come on, brother.
Yes. Well, I'm going to minister tonight on the truth about the Holy Spirit. Go with me to Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4. That's where I'm going to take my text. And I'm going to talk about the deity of the Holy Spirit. Peter said in Acts 5, verse 3, but Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Now notice the last part of this verse. Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God. So he's saying that the Holy Spirit is God, proving God the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is pictured in Scripture as God, as a real person, separated and distinct from both the Father and the Son. He is an individual member of the Godhead, or deity, and he has a separate body, soul, and spirit from both the Father and the Son. Notice this. He is spoken of as God. We just read in Acts 5, 3 through 4, he says, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Thou hast not lied unto man, but unto God, proving the deity of the Holy Spirit. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 through 17, he says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that's our bodies, and that the Spirit of God, that what we call the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now the Holy Spirit lives within our spirit man. Man is a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. When you repented of your sin, and you made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, and the moment you was washed in the blood of Jesus, the Holy Spirit come in your spirit man and recreated your spirit man. And the Bible goes on and says, if any man defile the temple of God, that is our body, him shall God destroy. He is holy. Now, that's where sanctification comes in. Our body should be holy. Now, when we were born again, the blood of Jesus sanctified us. And then all through our life is a progressive sanctification. And at the moment of death or the rapture of the church, then there's complete sanctification. And he goes on and says, which temple ye are. And in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 20 says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's 9 gifts of the Spirit, but it's the Holy Spirit that operates them. And it says, and it is the same Lord, the Lord Jesus. It is the same God, which worketh all in all. And you can read about that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11, on your own time. Divine names and titles are ascribed to him, that's the Holy Spirit. The following names and titles used of the Holy Spirit prove his deity and oneness with the Father and the Son. Now notice this. He is called Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit about 97 times in Scripture. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, he said, know ye not, ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God, notice that, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of God. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, he said, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the God moved upon the face of the waters. It was the Holy Spirit that moved upon the face of the waters. And in 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 20-23, it says, and Saul sent messengers to take David. And when they saw the company of the prophets prophesying, and Samuel standing as appointed over them, the Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul. And they also prophesied. That's how they prophesy. It's by the Spirit of God. And when it was told Saul, he sent other messengers, and they prophesied likewise. And Saul sent messengers again the third time, and they prophesied also. Then went he also to Ramah and came to a great well that is in Tekoa, and he asked and said, where are Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they be at Naoth in Ramah. And he went thither to Naoth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God, there it is again, the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Naoth in Ramah. Notice that. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of God. And in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16, it says, and Jesus, when he was baptized in the Jordan River by John the Baptist, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens, with an S, were open unto him, and he saw, notice there, the Spirit of God descending like a dove. In other words, the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus and lighting upon him. So here is Scripture proving the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of God. And in Judges 3:11, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of the Lord. In Judges 3:10, he said, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he judged Israel, and went out to war, and the Lord delivered, it's a big long name here, king of Mesopotamia in his hand, and his hand delivered against, so that big word again, but notice it, it was the Spirit of the Lord that came upon him. That's how he could judge Israel. And in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, he says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. This is talking about the Holy Spirit of God, God the Holy Spirit. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, Jesus, and God the Holy Spirit, which makes the divine Trinity. And in Luke chapter 4, verses 16-21, he said, and he came to Nazareth, talking about Jesus, where he had been brought up. So this is where Jesus was brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. Well, if that was Jesus' custom to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, it should be our custom to go to church as well. And the Bible says, and stood up for to read. Jesus stood up for to read, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. That's Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, Jesus opened the book with a scroll, he found the place where it was written. Notice verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord. There that is again. Is upon me. So the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jesus, because he has anointed me. It's the Spirit of God that anointed Jesus to preach the gospel to the poor. Well, if that's what Jesus did, that's what we should do. We should preach the gospel to the poor. But we need the Spirit of the Lord to do that. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Well, that's the next thing that Jesus did. And it's God that can heal the brokenhearted. To preach deliverance to the captives. Well, that's what we should do. Preach deliverance to those that's got addictions and bondages. And recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Notice, Jesus did this by the Spirit of the Lord, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, which was the year of Jubilee. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down. He's talking about Jesus, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. They were looking at Jesus. And he began to say unto them, this day, scripture fulfilled in your ears, talking about the Spirit of the Lord. I got one more, and I'll be done. He's called the Spirit of the Living God. 2 Corinthians 3:3 says, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but notice it, but with the Spirit of the Living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. He wrote it on our heart. Well, remember this, the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit is in the Bible 97 times. He's called the Spirit of God, he's called the Spirit of the Lord, and he's called the Spirit of the Living God. Well, this is a teaching about the deity and the work, the truth of the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm going to turn it back over to my brother.
Thank you, brother. Praise the Lord. That's what I was teaching on yesterday morning. The Holy Spirit. He is the person who teaches us about the Father and the Son. He is the person that lives inside of us, that brings us to look and act like God. That is good news. That is real good news. Thank you, brother. We appreciate that. Appreciate that message. We can't get enough teaching on the Holy Spirit telling us about Jesus, giving us direction, giving us good direction. It's God.
We gather here in the name of the Lord Jesus.
name of Jesus, which is above every name, every knee will have to bow, every tongue will have to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thank God for the teaching on the Holy Spirit. The Bible teaches us that no one will call Jesus accursed by the Spirit of God. And no one will say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is very much involved with God the Father and God the Son. I want you to know there was only three persons who could have died for Adam. Adam was made in the image and likeness of God. And because he was made in the image and likeness of God, only God himself could come down in human flesh and redeem us back to that perfect, holy, and righteous state. So God the Son decided that he would go and redeem Adam and his descendants back to the Father. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. As a Christian, you will never get the word of God unless you listen to the Holy Spirit. He will reveal the heart of the Father. He will reveal the heart of Jesus. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to intercede for us in prayer, we'll be able to get those things we've asked God for. John said in 1 John 5, 14, this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hear us. And we know if he hear us, we know we have the petition we've asked of him. I'm telling you, when you allow the Holy Spirit to teach you, when you set up under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, he will teach you. He will teach you the will of the Father. He will teach you how to pray. He will teach you how to rightly divide the word of truth. He will teach you how to love people different from you. He will teach you how to love the righteous sinner as though he was the best. For God so loved the world, my God. He loved the people you put down. He loved the people I used to put down. My God, I was one of those people. I was one of those that were put down. And I thank God that he saved me. He came into my life one day, and he set me free from the bondages of hell on earth and from eternal hell. I want to thank God for that. Tonight, I want to talk about in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I want to talk about the church. What is the church? Is the church a bunch of builders we gather in, or can we gather anywhere? The Bible says, don't forget the assembling of yourselves together. We ought to have church everywhere. Church ought to be everywhere, not just on Sunday mornings. Every day ought to be church time. We ought to have church every day. God wants us to have church every day, not just on Sundays, not just on Saturdays. He wants us to have church every day. We are the temples of God. We are the temples of God. And God loves us. He cares about us. He cares about us. Yes, he does. He cares about us. God loves us. He He cares about us. He loves us so much that he's willing to send Jesus Christ to die for us. So when we think about who God is, we think about the glory of God. When we read the Word of God kills us. It destroys the darkness inside of us. It just destroys that darkness inside of us. So when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are dead. We are dead. The law put us to death. And Jesus presents grace and mercy when he goes to the cross. He presents to us an unmerited, present out to us an unmerited favor. And then when he resurrects from the dead, he seals the deal. For by grace are we saved through faith. And that's not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. No one will ever boast about what they did to get to heaven. They will have to come through Jesus Christ. No one will brag about what they did to get to heaven. They will have to come through Jesus Christ. When they come through Jesus Christ, they are born again. They have a new life. The Bible says if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So whatever you've done in the past will not disqualify you from going to heaven because Jesus died for you. Not your denomination. Jesus died for you. Not your race, but Jesus died for you. Not your money, but Jesus died for you. I want you to know, no matter who you are, I don't care what your background is, Jesus Christ died for you. The Bible says, not by works or righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. According to his mercy. It wasn't according to my mercy. It wasn't according to the church's mercy. It wasn't according to your race mercy. It was Jesus who died for us. And it was God the Father who asked him to die for us because he so loved us. He loved us. He cared about us. And he was willing to send his death to die for us. One day I was on my way to prison, and I began to say to God, why would you send such a blessing, such perfection, such righteousness, such holiness to die for me? Why would you do that? And he told me, I always send my best to get my best. Always spend my best to get my best. WL, I believe you're my best. So I know Jesus is my best. So I sent Jesus to redeem you. That's how much I love you. I love you so much. Can't stand for you to spend eternity in hell. I can't stand for you to spend hell on this earth. That's why I sent Jesus to die for you. And I want you to know, if he loved me that much, he also loved you the same. He sent Jesus to die for you. In other words, Adam was perfect. He was righteous. Amen. He was holy. He was made like God. God breathed into some dirt. And guess what? A living soul was created in God's own image and God's own likeness. It wasn't about the dirt. It was about God in the dirt. Amen. That made Adam who he was. He was like God. And the reason, that's the reason God put him over all of creation. Because black God. He can command the animals. He can command the stars. He can command everything. And they would obey him like he was God. You know, Jesus said this. He asked the question, who do men say that I am? Some say this, some say that. Then he asked the question, who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. My God, we are built on Jesus Christ. Jesus is our rock. He is the foundation where we live. And then he told them, I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. You'll have the same voice. You'll have the same authority on earth and in heaven that I have. Wherever God is, his authority is there. Wherever he is, if he's in this corner, that corner, if he's in this country or that country, he's still God. If he's inside of us, he's still God. Has the same authority inside of W.L. Scott as he does himself, because he breathed himself inside of Adam, and Adam became like God. Oh, my God. That is so powerful. Adam became like God. He was born to be like God. We were born to be like God. Women, you were born to be first class. You were born to be the holiness of God. You were born to be the glory of God. You're not trash. You are the masterpiece of God. God took a rib from the man, and he made a woman. In other words, God put his hands on you. He put his hands on you, and he shaped you to be the most beautiful creature in the world, so the men could admire you, adore you, be drawn to you. God made you that way. He gave you the oil that men would smell the anointing upon your life and want you. God made you like that. You are the masterpiece. You are one of his best. And then he gives you to your man on the wedding day. The greatest gift that a man can receive is a woman anointed by God. Don't get any better than that. But I want you to know tonight, no matter who you are, young man, old man, God is looking for you. God is chasing you down by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. He's chasing you down, and he wants you today. He wants you today. Amen. Just like a dog want meat. He wants you today. He wants you to know that he loves you. He cares about you. He don't want to let you go, because you're a good thing. Because you were made in his image and his likeness. And I want you to know that. God was so pleased with you. Amen. He made you today. Oh, my God, what a creature I've made. Because God loved himself. He loved himself so much that he was willing to make us like him. Not something less than him, but just like him. Oh, my God, he gave us the mind of Christ. We can think like Christ. We can speak like Christ. And then he puts the Holy Spirit inside of us. It was God who made us. It was God who created us. It was God who redeemed us. It was God who lives inside of us. He decided to come inside of us so we would never be alone. We would never be without God. Then he could say, I will never leave you nor forsake you because I'm going to live inside of you. I'm going to make my house inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit. And you'll always have a reason to rejoice. You'll always have a reason to call my name because I'm going to put myself inside of you. You won't ever be alone again. You won't have to think filthy thoughts about yourself anymore. It won't matter what people say about you because you know that you are made in the image and likeness of God. You know that God, the Word, went to the cross and died for you. You know that God, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you. What's the problem? What is your problem now? Why don't you think that you are somebody and you got God wants to live inside of you? My God, that's good. I'll be right back. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. We serve a mighty God. He is so good. God is so good to us. I tell you what. Amen. If you can get a better God than I've got, I tell you, go for it. But I believe that I have the greatest God in the world, that he loves me so much that he was willing to send Jesus to die for me. Oh, my God, to die for me. Who would do that?
Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all of the world thy hands have made, I see
I want you to pray tonight, will you? Just pray. Amen? Praise the Lord. You pray for us, can't you? There are people who need you to pray for. They're going through trials and tribulations. And God wants you to pray for them. Because you know you can. Amen. Could you do that for me? Praise the Lord. We're going to ask Alice to pray for us. Will you do that for us? Alice? Well, I guess I'll have to pray. Father, we just thank you today for the power and the authority. We can all pray the same. Father, we just thank you for those who are this struggling. That are going through trials and tribulations, Father. Those who are hurting because they lost loved ones. Those who are hurting because loved ones are getting ready to leave, dear Lord. I pray for those who have children, Lord, who are hurting. Children who have gone astray, Lord. I pray tonight, Lord, that you will touch them, Father. Bring them back, Father, in a better way than they left, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you will deliver people from drugs and alcohol and all of those things, Lord, that try to bring them under. I pray in the name of Jesus that every demon spirit right now be destroyed. Jesus' name. I come against those enemies of marriages, Lord. I break the spirit of those demons right now. And I command the men of those women, Father, to yield to the Lordship of God. You yield right now and allow Jesus Christ to come on the throne of your life so you can serve that woman. I pray for those women, Lord, right now. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that they will humble themselves unto you, Father. They will humble themselves unto Jesus and the Holy Spirit, that they will be willing to humble themselves, Father, begin to bring their husbands in with love and kindness and joy in their hearts, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father. Give them wholesome words to say, Father. May their words melt the heart, the coldness of the hearts of their husbands right now. May they embrace their husbands with love as unto you, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father. We just come against all of this hatred, Father. We pray that there will be a river of love, Father, fall upon this country, Father, from the head the tail, Lord, that we will be able to love each other, Father. The race won't matter because you made the race, Lord. You made us the color we are. And when they come against you, they come against us, they come against you, Lord, because you qualified us to preach. You qualified us to teach. You qualified us to pray, Lord. I want to pray that you will just touch. I pray for these two ladies that's on with me tonight. I pray in the name of Jesus, Father, that you would use them to your glory, Father. I pray that you would preach through them, Father. I pray that you would prophesy through them. In the name of Jesus Christ right now, Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for just blessing tonight, Lord. I thank you for your blessings over me, Lord. Oh, thank you for your blessings over me, Lord. They're chasing them down, Lord. I thank you for blessing me, Father, to be a blessing to others, Lord. I want to pour out myself, Lord, to the people in my care, Father. Father, set a fire inside of me that I can't contain it and I can't control it. I want to be in the presence of your love, Lord. I want to preach your gospel. I want to teach your word, Lord. I want to minister to your people. And I pray tonight, Lord, that you'll continue to open the doors. I'll go in those doors, Lord. I'll go into the hearts of people. I will let them know how much I love them because the God who serves me, the God who lives inside of me, is willing to serve them, Father. As Jesus said, he didn't come to serve. He came to serve. Whatever you want to do with us tonight, do it, Lord. I just want to be used by you. I just want more of you, Father. That's all. I want more of you so I can give it away, Lord. I want to be like a sponge, Lord. I just want to soak up all of you and then squeeze it on other people, Lord, so I can come back and get more, Lord, so I can squeeze it again. And I love you tonight, Lord. I love you. I glorify you. I magnify you tonight. And I know that there's no other God besides you. And I praise you, Lord. I just praise you. I praise you for these ladies that are on right now, Father. I just thank you, Father, for their prayers, Father. I just thank you for what you do in their lives, Lord, because your amazing grace is amazing.
That say
Amen. That is my testimony. I was blind, but now I see. I was lost, but now I'm found. Because of God. It wasn't because of my goodness. It was because of His goodness. And I just thank God tonight that we get the opportunity to proclaim this gospel of Jesus. I just think about that, Alice, how at 5 o'clock in the morning, how we just love to read the Word of God, how we just love to pray and worship as the Word gets down inside of us and it starts moving us to want to praise and worship God. What a blessing. What a blessing. In Ephesians, the 13th chapter, after, you know, God gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And then he's going to do that until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measurement of the stature of the fullness of Christ. In other words, when we all become one, we are going to become one. If he has to kill off a lot of us, we are going to become one. We are coming in to a body of Christ, to a perfect man. We are coming that way. I can tell you, those who are trying to hold that flood back, will let me tell you, the flood will run over. And guess what? You'll go to heaven a little early because the church is going to sure come together. Amen. It's going to come together. And we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, to the measurement of the stature of the fullness of Christ. When we come into the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive us. There's going to be a church that's going to listen to the Holy Spirit. There's going to be a church who bows the knee to God and say, God, I'll do anything you want me to do. I'll love everybody. I will preach your word. I will teach your word. And I will pray with fervency. I will pray with expectation. I expect people to come to you, Lord. I pray for that. And then he says right here in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. Amen. Speaking the truth in love. Not just speaking the truth, but speaking it in love. You're not trying to expose anybody. You're trying to help them. Speaking the truth in love, they grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We're supposed to grow up to be like Jesus. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. So guess what? We can say the same thing. If you've seen me, you've seen my Father, because my Father made me righteous, because my Savior and my Lord became sin, so I could be made right. So I'm just as right as I'll ever be. Nothing but the blood of Jesus made me right. I'm right because of Jesus. I don't know about you. I'm qualified because of Jesus. My resume reads, born again. Born again. Blood of Jesus. Born again. I'm born again. Thank you, Lord, for saving us, for giving us all that we need to destroy the works of Satan. So when we study the Word of God, It is a lot. It's like us being crucified. In other words, the flesh is being crucified. My God, the darkness that still is being let go, being purged out of us, so we can praise God and a perfect Lord tonight. I thank you, Lord, tonight, that this is just the second blessing. The first blessing you allowed me to be in a home study, Father, with brothers and sisters. And you've allowed Alice to do the same thing, to be in a home study with other people, Lord. And we thank you for that double blessing right now, Lord. And we pray that those who are listening tonight, I pray that something has been said tonight, that you become a stronger person and a stronger child of the Most High God. I just want to be like God myself. I'm not trying to be any better than anybody. I just want to be like God. And you know what? All of us can be like God. We all can be like him, because we were made in his image and likeness. May God truly bless you tonight. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling, may the grace of God, the love of Jesus, and the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us until we meet again, is my prayer. As we go out on this amazing love,
laying down your glory, you.
Praise God. He's amazing. God, we bless you tonight. Good night. We'll see you next Monday. See you later. God bless you, Alice.